Audible.
When you don't have time to read it, listen to it.
Hey, what are you listening to right now?
I'm not listening to anything.
You're not listening to a book? No Place to Hide by Glenn Greenwald. That's my current listen.
Ooh, the guy that broke the Snowden story.
That's right. He was a journalist at The Guardian. The subtitle is Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. Surveillance State. It will make you want to encrypt your emails.
Ooh.
Good book.
Sounds nerdy.
You can download that one or any other book of your choice absolutely free and show your support for Grow the Dream Show at the same time. Just go to audibletrial.com/dream.
Boom. So that helps your content stick out as the 1%. If it turns out to be an actually good slide share, they will promote it.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream. This week, more useful stuff you can't resist, like the bootstrap paradox.
Oh, you got to hear that one.
I'm learning every day. SlideShare. We talk about SlideShare.
How about how to pick your programming language based on the life that you want?
And KCAL. All that and more. Next.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
Welcome to episode number 38.
Grow the Dream Show. Nice.
Yeah. I like it.
Preparedness.
That was actually really jingle-esque for Josh's jingle.
Well, I totally copied a local radio station around here.
That's what I thought I heard.
That works. All right, guys.
What's the name of this brew? Joe's?
I haven't seen Joe's. This. No, you
Wicked
guys brewed
Joe's,
it.
Right? Wicked Joe's. That's right.
Joe's.
Wicked Joe's.
Oh, we're back to Wicked Joe's.
Back to Wicked
yes.
Joe's.
Oh, cool. All some right.
We weren't okay. Digging the sound check blend.
All right. So the brew of the day is a familiar favorite.
And it's good.
You know, we haven't heard from Bob in a while. Bob sent us this coffee. Thank you, Bob.
Hope he's doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
What about Bob?
Speaking of hearing from people, we heard from some of our regulars last week, mostly outrage over the use of the word G-string in the title of the show. And then I don't think anybody ever responded to the actual G-string story from last week. So maybe they didn't make it that far into the episode. I don't know.
Oh, man. It was such a good show.
It was a fun show.
It was.
It was a fun story. So how's your week?
Superb.
All right. I like it.
I think.
Yeah. Mine was very productive.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Went in a lot of directions, got a lot done.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
Last week was a fun week because I got to introduce my daughter for the very first time to Back to the Future.
Oh.
I bet she was all over that.
It was a special moment because, you know, I'm trying to grow her into a nice little, you know.
Nerd?
Well, as long as we can use the positive connotations, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry. Is there a negative
dude,
one?
Girl nerds are so cool.
Yeah, well, she's
I'm just saying. In my book,
she's my
cool.
gamer buddy. We also tried a new game this week. This is a great.
Rod's like I can't relate.
No, this is a great spinoff. This is called Minecraft Storytime.
Okay.
Someone took the Minecraft franchise and is developing a 5-episode game. Entirely based on Minecraft.
Cool.
It's a game based on a game.
Sure, why not?
It's genius. Really. At first, I was like, "What?" You know, but it actually turned out really cool. So we played episode one this week, and now
played
she's
episode one. That's funny.
We did, yeah. And but now we have to wait, and it ends kind of on a cliffhanger. And so now episode two comes out in a couple months or something. So
that's genius.
It's brilliant. Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
I mean, just like we hang on edge for the next episode of our favorite TV show.
Absolutely.
Hanging on edge for the next episode of a game.
A game. And this company is called Telltale Games. They've done this before. I've never played any of their other stuff, but they've done this before where usually it's on a television show or something like that. So I don't know. I think this might be the first time they've ever done it based on another game.
Absolute genius. So could this be killer content of the week?
No. I have a different nomination for killer content of the week.
So is that one of those situations where which came first, the game or the game?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because that's like the bootstrap paradox or whatever in time travel theory. That's
are we back to the future this week or what?
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're doing the bootstrap paradox.
Where a future event affects a past event, which then affects a future event, and you're in this causal loop and nobody knows which one came first.
Would Chuck Berry have ever written Johnny Be Good if Marty hadn't played it on stage?
Exactly.
You know,
it's a bootstrap paradox because pulling yourself.
Sorry, guys. That one eludes me.
Okay.
Well, I contend that he would have because the only part he heard was through a phone line and it was the guitar solo.
Okay.
He didn't hear the whole song.
Yes.
See, now you're with us, huh?
See, yes. My problem is the Back to the Future is I only watched it once way back when, so I barely remember.
Way back when was 30 years ago, just for the record.
Yeah. Which is why I barely remember it and all.
Yeah.
But I love anything time travel. I just love and all, even though it's completely impossible, I still love the whole concept.
Here's the
question.
Wrinkle in Time. I think it could be done.
Are the Cubs going to win?
Well, it's not looking good, but okay, so this could be another nomination for killer content of the week. Did you see the USA Today cover?
No.
USA Today created a wrapper for their episode, Back to the Future Day issue.
Yeah.
That was a complete remake of the USA Today cover in Back to the Future 2.
No.
Yeah. Everything down to the Cubs. All of it. The whole thing. It was like, and they changed the logo, they made it match and all that stuff.
I just think it's so amazing.
It was cool.
Just all these things. I don't know. Yeah. That there was a Back to the Future Day in itself. Like, how cool is that?
Or a convention. Somebody really should have a convention.
Well, no, Back to the Future Day. In Back to the Future 2, Doc Brown takes them to the future.
And it was that day. I know.
October 21st.
I don't think I've ever even watched Back to the Future 2, which is pretty bad for a time travel guy.
So you're not going to get the hoverboard reference. This could be my...
No, but I get it because I've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah. So my daughter hasn't seen Back to the Future 2. So I was going to try to introduce her to, you know, Back to the Future first.
Does it matter which one you do first?
Well, it mattered because in the sense... Yeah, it does.
Just thinking time travel-wise, maybe it doesn't.
Right, but there was no reference to October 21st, 2015 in Back to the Future, the first movie. Mm. They just, you know, kind of skipped over the idea of going to the future. So she hasn't actually seen any of the stuff related to Back to the Future Day, even though we watched the movie on Back to the Future Day. So
fascinating.
I'm sure it is.
So are the Cubs going to win? How crazy would that be? I mean,
that would be.
I would just question.
For one thing, that would upset more than time travel. I mean, you're talking about a whole space-time continuum being in flux at that point.
I'm just saying, second guess. You got
curvature of the universe.
Everything we believe about the universe would be in question.
It would be at that point. Everything's upside down. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, absolutely.
What else is true?
I mean, it would be like,
you know,
exactly.
Did Star Wars
evil Superman and everything?
Oh,
you know.
My gosh, yeah.
Okay. Did you see the story this week that Michael J. Fox was arrested for insider sports betting on DraftKings?
Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
That Michael J. Fox?
Yeah, because he had traveled into the future and he knew the... But they got away with this. This story went viral and people believed it.
Dang it. So if your brand didn't somehow capitalize off of Back to the Future, like ours, we didn't do.
None of us probably did.
We're just sitting there absorbing. I go, this is opportunity. Cool, this is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, that's okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would have worked with my clientele anyway.
That would have taken planning ahead of time, which I didn't do.
Huh.
I'd only heard about Back to the Future Day like a day before it happened.
And see, that's what happened with National Coffee Day a few weeks ago. All right, so this is a free tip for everybody listening. I'm going to give it to you,
strategy?
Josh. I'm going to give this to you
Where
right
is
now.
This calendar that
it's called nationaldaycalendar.com. You got to go to nationaldaycalendar.com, and I have no relationship with this website whatsoever, except that it is the coolest thing that we use to find this stuff ahead of time. Like, I'm getting ready for National Cappuccino Day.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want anybody to, it'll be cool. Anyway, it's coming up.
Are these national days all ones that have been approved?
No, everybody makes these up.
Okay.
This is just
because Congress will, and local, you know, state legislative commissions, they'll all pass these, you know, so and so day, such and such day.
I don't want to hear your political
big waste of time.
Oh, I know,
political. It's just stupid.
You can would you go there, click on calendar at a glance, and then you can choose a month. So like, it's
God, somebody needs to reinvent this.
How old the UI is this website?
Bad. No. It's being updated all the time.
I'm seeing one of my ads. For a client of mine, is
you
on
must be
site.
Retargeting yourself.
Yes, apparently.
So, I mean, you know, most of this is lame. I mean, like National Deep Fried Clams Day is November 1st. I mean, you know, most of it's completely bogus. But the fact that it's somewhere verifiable and that
deep
you can link
fried clams.
No, okay,
day?
You cannot say because it's on the internet. It's verifiable.
No. But it's on NationalDayCalendar.com, and they do a little story
and
about
who
each
are they?
One. It doesn't matter.
So how do you know which ones are actually
verifiable?
Be
then?
Because you can link
who
to
are.
It. No, because you can link to it. Okay. Look, this is completely. I mean, there's nothing serious about this at all. But
gotcha.
This is great. Because,
wait a minute, National Pie Day? Yeah, it is too serious.
All right, and some of them are actually legit. Okay, so
December 1st, National Pie Day. Come on.
Yeah, and they run a story about each one, so they'll tell you where did it originate.
What the heck, bifocals at the Monitor Liberation Day?
Who,
we could spend the whole podcast on this thing.
Who's behind it? You know, it tells you the whole story.
Why
about
did you
it.
Open this can of worms? Oh, well, Rosa Parks Day. That'd be a good one.
Because I'm trying to help Josh so that he knows about this stuff ahead of time.
I was going
to
say, if the celebratory item for the day absolutely sucks, you could just go find the trending hashtags for the day and jump on that bandwagon.
Well, you can, but you know, if you're like most business owners and small marketing teams, you need a little time to prepare for this stuff. You know, you want to give this to your graphics people, or if you're outsourcing your graphics.
I mean, I feel like this
you
is taking
give them some time.
I mean, this is a whole nother level to plan ahead for some of this stuff. For our marketing teams,
it's a new idea. Like, I realize.
I just wanted to see if they put anything else on December 25th because that already is kind of a day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, isn't that Festivus?
National Pumpkin Pie Day and Alphabet Day or No L Day.
Oh, I love No L Day.
Alphabet,
where the L is missing.
Right,
Alphabet. Yeah, I like that. I saw that before. And there's also another holiday that day. It's Christmas.
Oh, there's Christmas on there.
Yeah, it's listed. Yeah. It's
I thought that's what
Festivus,
you were saying.
Though? Is Festivus?
Yeah,
it...
that's why I picked December 25th. Correct, Josh.
Okay, so
ding, 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 ding.
Well, he just. I know. I was just joking.
Cheesing around with
Festivus
me.
Is on.
There's so much cheese. Sometimes you get
December 23rd
lost in the cheese.
Get all dairied up.
Okay, so that's my contribution for the day. I feel like I've made a good contribution by giving you NationalDayCalendar.com.
We definitely.
I hope everybody's been greatly helped out by
my
this.
Expectations for National Day Calendar.
Okay, so the user interface is kind of bad.
It's awful.
And I expected it to be like the national, you know, like Groundhog Day and these other ones that are
those are there too. Yeah.
I know, but how do I know which one of these are actually going to make a splash? These are all
you
crap.
Don't. No, you don't.
National, well, noodle.
You can kind of tell. You can look. I mean, if you've been around a while, you can sort of, you know,
I remember that one.
National Deep Fried Clams Day is probably not going to take off. And I apologize if you are listening to the show and you're in the clams business.
But what about bifocals at the Monitor Liberation Day? This is free yourself from dealing with blurry screen images by getting your eyes examined to see if bifocals can help.
Well,
can we?
I have bifocals right now.
Rod,
I could celebrate this day.
You're the one third of this room that might actually appreciate
that.
I
don't even want to validate them for trying that crappy. I think it's horrible.
Oh, come on now. Now, come on.
Now you're not having fun anymore, Josh.
Yeah, you got to.
I just can't believe
you got to go with it, man.
Do that.
You got to go with it.
This is not an official calendar.
I know, but there should be a link to what idiot came up with this.
Okay, then if you want something a little bit more legit, but this is, I got to tell you, this is a little bit more geek-oriented.
I'd just love to see that get smashed on Reddit.
There is.
The guy who did that.
There is an official calendar of the internet.
I didn't know it was a guy.
Did you know about it?
This sounds more interesting.
Okay, it's called forecast.com. You spell it with a K. Forecast with a K, .com.
Do you know how the whole internet...
Do I what?
Do you know the whole internet?
Yes.
That's what it feels like.
Oh, let's.
I'm asking a question. Oh, yeah. If you go to.
Just call me Google.
Yeah.
You know what my.
David is really Google.com.
You know what my nickname in high school was?
Why is it not working?
I don't know, but it's a wide open door and I'm not taking it.
Oh, yeah. It was Doogie Howser.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Josh doesn't know who that is.
I know. Is there more you'd like to share about your internet? Go!
So does that work? I like that.
Really? That'd be terrific if it did.
Like I said, Forecast is, it's called the crowdsourced.
Squeezing the Ethernet does not help, Josh.
I'm trying to make sure it's fully plugged in because it's just not loading.
It's not like a hose.
We unplugged this cable. So Forecast is the crowdsourced calendar of the internet. So it is crowdsourced and it allows for upvoting like Reddit. So
very cool. This sounds way more interesting
but
there it is.
These are geeks, okay, that are behind this. So I'm just going to warn you, there's actually a lot of Reddit content on here.
Beautiful.
So you're not going to find Clash of Clans or League of Legends to be very popular in general circles, but on Forecast they're a big deal.
Mm.
Right? So I'm just warning you. But the new Apple TV launch is today, Marketing Monday, October 26th. See? I wouldn't know about that had it not been for
Forecast. The only
thing
cool about that is that it can now replace my Ouya. You're going to be able to play games on that. And there's an app ecosystem. Ouya. It was a Kickstarter game system.
Okay.
Built off of Android. You would love this. Built off the Android kernel.
All right. I'm a fan of Android stuff.
Anyway,
hey,
speaking of
content stuff,
Duck Game. If you're going to check it out, play Duck Game.
If you're doing YouTube ads, this might actually not be a good thing for you.
Sorry, YouTube ads. I forgot those existed. Do they work?
Yeah, actually, I enjoy. I use them. Yeah, we use them. But
is that part of the audience network?
No. But they did recently in AdWords move the video stuff into the same interface. You can do your YouTube ads in the exact same location that you do the rest of your AdWords ads.
Okay.
They used to be in a separate place, but only a couple weeks ago they moved them in.
Okay.
And now you can manage them as part of your same campaigns, and you can do retargeting with your retargeting audiences on AdWords
YouTube.
Using YouTube instead. So when the
Beautiful.
People actually watch a YouTube video, whether they're on YouTube.com or on a mm-hmm. on one of the content.
So this is interesting.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, though.
Dang it.
YouTube announced Red last week. Have you heard of this? I don't know who named it, mind you, but YouTube Red.
R-E-D?
R-E-D.
Oh.
Red. YouTube Red.
Somebody already owns the color red.
It's a subscription service. And you pay $10 a month to YouTube, and you don't see any ads anywhere. Huh. Mid-roll, you don't see the little pre-roll ads. You don't see the little hover ones that come up in the on the bottom of your video. You can now subscribe to YouTube and get no ads.
Right.
That would actually be handy.
Depending on how much you use YouTube.
So I'm going to get it for free because I'm a part of the Music Key service, which was a test that YouTube ran where you could pay to not see ads on music videos.
Yeah, well,
and I got the Google Play Music subscription for free as part of it. So I just got an email yesterday from YouTube that I'm being upgraded to YouTube Red.
Nice.
So I won't see ads. So I haven't seen them on music videos for a long time, but now I won't see them on any YouTube
videos.
Yeah, which
I mean that improves the user experience on YouTube much.
Yeah, but if you're getting results from your YouTube ads, and then I won't.
But they're going to still pay. I mean, Google's going to still pass the money on to your.
Right, but if you're the advertiser and you're trying to reach audiences.
Oh, I don't care.
Wait. What business are you in?
Yeah,
this
really? Aren't you a marketer?
Yes.
Digital marketer.
Yes. This is why you need to be investing in content.
Well,
so
it's
that
true.
You don't need.
Yeah, so what's going
to
happen?
There's always going to be somewhere you can pay to get your ad seen. That's going to change over time.
And what's going to happen, though, is that people are going to start to see more native advertising on YouTube.
There you go.
Right, so you're going to see
there's already a fair amount of that.
We should call this the native advertising show. That the idea of native just keeps coming up in our episodes.
So the idea would be if we had a YouTube show, if we did Grow the Dream on YouTube, then we would have to pick up our Wicked Joe's. Not that they're a sponsor, but let's say they did, we would pick up the bag and show it on camera. Yeah. So we're having our Wicked Joe's coffee here, and this is it. You can find them.
Or talk about how great Audible is and all, while talking about the experience of being able to listen to books and da 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 and mention Audible a number of times. That's native advertising without ever mentioning that they're a sponsor.
We, on the other hand, do thank Audible for their sponsorship when we talk about them. So they're a sponsor.
So,
yeah.
Yes,
so
exactly.
we don't bury it.
Well, that's the whole native advertising thing
it.
Is you,
right.
you get
oh,
rid of that delineating wall between ads and content.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I know because we're doing it.
Which is uncool. And I think the Federal Trade Commission that crackdown will continue.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
Good
see.
Luck finding.
So I want us to issue a warning.
Okay.
If you need to be productive today, do not go to nationaldaycalendar.com because I've only barely been listening to this conversation since David brought it up because I keep going through it.
Go to Forecast better. It's so much better.
Forecast won't
But it's for geeks. It's for geeks, though. Forecast is not.
Let's be real. Who's listening to this show?
No.
It's either geeks or wannabe geeks.
No.
Yes.
No,
there's nerds,
except for Rod.
There's nerds, too.
No. Marketers and business owners listening to the
show. Actually, it's true. The people we interact with are actually
if you are
normal
over,
people.
If you are over 50, and, like Rod, and listening to this show, you have to tell us.
All right.
I don't believe you're out there.
I'm going
to
defend our listeners. Well,
all right. I don't think and there I'm, are people listen, over 50.
But that's not the only
the
definition of a non-nerd.
Absolutely.
I'm a geek.
I'm just kidding.
I'm a geek and a nerd, and I want to just defend. So I think those are positive words, okay? But I think there are plenty of people who listen to our show that are not overly technical that would not be interested in, you know, the new downloadable content on the latest game, which makes it to Forecast. Right.
Oh.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not necessarily okay. Gamers and geeks and you know.
All I'm saying is nationaldaycalendar.com sucks you in because they're so ridiculous, so many of them. And then you got to see where that comes from. You click on it and then you go back to it. It's like kind of getting, you know, when you get in the YouTube, you know, black hole there and that and the next. Oh, let me just look. Oh, this one's only 3 minutes. Oh, okay. That's just like, stop.
Rod, I have a much more important warning for you then. Don't ever go to Reddit.
I don't.
If you think National Day Calendar is bad, I'm telling you, man, Reddit will suck you in.
Right.
You will lose.
I don't have to. It's why I don't ever do video games or anything, because I know my personality is easily addicted and boom, right in, and I'll lose hours from my life and not know it. And I can't afford to do
here
that.
Here it is.
So
yeah. Personal. This is what I want to talk about. There's a personal air conditioner.
Wait, what are you doing?
There's a personal desk.
He's
air
saying there's hot air blowing around in here. I don't know what he's talking about.
Both
I think I know what he's talking
literal.
About.
Yes, it's called. It's a desk AC unit.
A personal like air conditioner.
Yes, Evapolar.
Is this for people that have a personal summer?
I see sweat on your bald head.
Well, you know I'm sweating because I sweat in every single episode. For our listeners, if they'd like to know.
Right. Yes, of course they do. Evapolar.
And yet the coffee's still worth it.
Anyway, I just think that's genius. I need one.
Okay. So those are my contributions to the show. We got them out of the way early.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
We still have killer content of the week to go back to?
I do, I still have something for killer content of the week, which I'll hang on to. But okay. You had something you were excited about that you wouldn't tell us about before we turn on the mics.
Yes, well, the name of this title, it's from a guy, Mitchell Harper. He was the co-founder of BigCommerce, which I used for a little bit before I switched over to Shopify.
Well, we got clients on that.
Sorry, Mitchell, but I don't think you're involved with the company anymore because it looks like you're doing something else. How I got 50,000 views on SlideShare and 706 email subscribers for less than $350. What this guy is doing...
How many email subscribers?
706.
Okay, all right.
That's 50 cents a subscriber.
Well, but 50,000 views, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is before his brand even launched or his product even launched. They're still not launched.
Okay.
And I don't actually know the content of the SlideShare, but this is interesting to me because for the first time I've been saying, hey, syndicate our content, syndicate content, right? Well, for the first time this past week, I did that to SlideShare for the first time.
Yeah, you've been telling me to do it for the longest time.
Well... And it turns out it's not, I realize why it's probably effective. Most people aren't going to spend the time to turn their content into a PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's true. You have to build
put links in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then publish, export it as a PDF, because you have to export it as a PDF to make it importable into SlideShare with all the links and everything.
Really? They don't get the...
Their preferences anyway, if you read the guides. Anyway.
I think they get the links from your PowerPoint slides. I'll double check, because I've done this before. It's been a
cool.
while. I'll look. You keep talking.
In their thing, they recommended exporting as PDF, so I don't know.
Probably
anyway.
Because people use all those animations and weird stuff. In it. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I turned the... it was the post about podcasts for startup founders.
Okay.
Turned that into a SlideShare.
Nice.
Well, it turns out I did it all wrong. Well, number one, I didn't get the links to work. They had this thing that said, like, you just use this program, it'll automatically upload to SlideShare, and it's a web-based interface, except the web-based interface, it's like Haiku Deck or something, doesn't let you create links. So now I have to start all over with this thing. So I'm as you can tell, I'm a little bit irritated. But anyway, this guy...
Is this the SlideShare people that did this to
you? Okay, I've just confirmed that if you upload a PPTX file... the normal latest version of PowerPoint, and you have a link in your slide, SlideShare will get the link.
Okay, good.
It works.
Okay. Cool. So they used SlideShare. I wish I knew what the actual content was. He's just talking about by not saying what he did. But anyway, so what he did to get it noticed by SlideShare, and this is what I did wrong, is he did promoted tweets to send traffic to that newly post.
So SlideShare saw the incoming traffic and didn't know he was paying for it.
That's how they realized. And I guess because when you post something on Twitter, it automatically embeds the slide on SlideShare, right?
Okay.
It's like, yes,
that's true.
So
yeah.
Very cool UI. So I guess
they're whitelisted by Twitter for content, embedded content. Yeah.
Beautiful. So when you scroll through your feed and you see that there, I guess it counts as a view for SlideShare.
Correct.
Without even clicking through
right.
slides, which
right.
is crazy.
It's so like SoundCloud when you upload audio files and you tweet them, you know, you can tweet and people can play.
That right, right,
Twitter,
right.
That's counted as a play on SoundCloud. Same idea.
Yeah, but you don't even have to go through. It's still counted as a view from what I understand on SlideShare without you even clicking through
Correct.
The slides.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Because it showed up on
Yeah, because slide one showed up. Right.
So just by you don't pay for those. You only pay for engagements if somebody clicks on an ad.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You're getting
he got free views because he didn't.
Right.
Oh, I see what
Isn't
you mean.
Isn't that crazy? And you know how many
That's
impressions
a good idea.
People get on Twitter.
Hey, this is like your hack from last week about getting all the engagement from those low targeted countries.
Yeah.
And this is good.
The bottom line is you obviously don't get any brand value from somebody just scrolling past your tweet.
Yeah, but, so the views, the 50,000 views are pretty worthless.
Well, I was going to say, except for a branding purpose. And
he only spent $50. The idea
was
to get it on SlideShare's radar so that they would promote it on their homepage or however they...
So when SlideShare saw the view count go up, SlideShare said, oh, this is a popular presentation.
The editorial team at SlideShare, I'm sure, checked it out to see that it was legit. But, you know, enough. There's a social signal, enough for them. So I guess the problem is 99% of the stuff uploaded to SlideShare goes nowhere.
That's true.
So they're looking for that 1%. So that helps your content stick out as the 1%. If it turns out to be an actually good SlideShare, they will promote it to their audience. So that's
essentially
what they
did. So you probably don't have to have that much traffic to kind of stand out and show up on their radar.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
They did several. Like, it wasn't just one and done. They did 5 or 6 points. And all they did was about a specific topic. Let's say how to buy a boat. Okay. And they looked for the best information online on how to buy a boat.
Okay.
How to research a boat. They read all these articles. And instead of trying to recreate their own blog post or content around this idea, they turned somebody else's stuff, basically the main ideas and main points, into a PowerPoint with images. So they did a lot of work, but essentially they weren't creating any new content or new ideas.
They didn't originate it. They just turned it into
content
for SlideShare. Interesting.
Isn't that wild? And they had click-through action. So like throughout the thing, they had a call to action to go check out their sign-up page, which is just a landing page.
And this is where a lot of people, I think, fall down. Like if you do SlideShare, you need to drive traffic to your opt-in stuff.
Correct.
Because this is a beautiful, it's actually a really effective place to generate leads.
Yeah.
I mean, it works really well. In fact, I just logged in and, you know, LinkedIn owns SlideShare now. They have for a little while. And they have a new button. And have you seen this?
Yeah.
Collect leads.
Yeah.
And it's like the easy button on Facebook where it's, you know, promote this post.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't tell you that it's going to be an ad until you click through and you pick out your SlideShare that you want to use.
Oh. Yeah.
And then, hey, how much do you want to pay for a lead? You know, and then you can just put your credit card in.
I figured that's what it was.
Yeah, that's exactly what it does.
Didn't click on it.
I'm not a big
which
fan
is not
of,
what
that,
you do.
Of leading people on like that without being upfront first.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It would be nice. Now, there is a little learn more. So I guess, you know, you could.
Because at that point, if somebody like me, and there are plenty of us, we'll look at that and say, well, now I'm just ticked off.
Yeah.
I'm not using it. I'm principal.
Yeah. So, good idea. I like it.
He calls it guerrilla marketing. But there's
a guerrilla component to that. Sure. I like that. Yeah.
So he literally, I mean, I don't know. I just think this guy's, he's genius because this is one of like 9 techniques he's using to build his pre-launch email list.
Yeah.
Because for him, It's all about, so what he's doing is it's pre-quote, I'm quotation marks, launch. He actually has a product. He actually has the beta, but it's a closed beta. So he's doing all these things in public, creating content that would help people that could be prospective customers, turns those into leads, mm-hmm. which he then emails those people, says, do you want to be part of my beta program? He's then like talking to these people on the phone to see if he has product market fit on his product, doing all this hard work so that when he actually launches, he hopefully has a product with product market fit that's going to take off. He has all these users that are going to hopefully turn into to his first
well-targeted offer
and promoters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this guy created big commerce, so he obviously was a successful at that. So it's just cool to see him, which while he was at big commerce, he did the same thing, but with a blog.
Cool.
And so now it's interesting that this time around, I mean, I guess he wrote a blog post about what he did on SlideShare, so I guess he's still doing the blog.
What's his product?
I don't think we know.
I don't even know.
Yeah, we don't even know. Okay. I mean, so the key would be, if you're going to try to duplicate something like this,
Capital H Labs. Sorry.
Okay, so yeah, you've got to create something that would survive well on and do well on SlideShare. So it has to be able to look okay in slide format, like PowerPoint slide. You can't think about it like PowerPoint, but you just have to use a tool like PowerPoint to build it.
Yeah,
it's literally like YouTube except with stills.
Right.
You know, and there's no audio.
Right.
But you just are showing mm-hmm. stuff sequentially.
And what he was saying is one bullet point per slide. Keep it super simple so people can just click through and digest good. The content.
Because they don't always see it full screen. That's the other thing. You think about PowerPoint as being a full screen thing.
Yeah.
But SlideShare is decidedly not, usually.
Decidedly not.
Like so. YouTube embeds. It's the same idea. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
and it's easy, by the way, it's easy to embed SlideShare content on WordPress. So like if you have a WordPress install with Jetpack, sure. the Jetpack plugin, they have a short code for...
You just put in the URL?
Actually, on SlideShare, there's a share button, and it generates the WordPress short code for you right there. You don't even have... Yeah, you just click the WordPress icon, and then boom, there you go.
Very cool.
And it embeds... It's nice and easy. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's a good way to... And you can put these in your blog posts, too. That's instead of an infographic, you could have something a little more interactive. You know?
Well, and I think... I mean, you have to make this quality...
Yeah.
Otherwise, this whole tactics isn't going to work.
Well, like everything we talk about.
I'm going to say, that is a given in everything.
Yeah,
you should never, ever, ever put anything out that's not quality.
In this case, he one bullet point per slide, but he goes and he finds a custom image for each. So he uses Flickr. He tries to find stuff that doesn't look like stock images, but it's also quality.
Right.
Of course, he uses the correct license on Flickr, but...
Yeah, you gotta watch for those Creative Commons with commercial use permitted and all of that sort of stuff.
So there you go.
All right, so I have a small interesting content one here that and the reason I find this really good and really interesting is twofold. Number one, because it was used by a former guest on this program.
Ooh,
nice.
Cool. Okay.
But also because it sucked me in when I have zero interest in the topic itself.
Oh. Okay.
And so the title of this, and it's by Larry Kim.
Oh, okay.
Larry posted it, but Udacity is the one that created the infographic that he used as part of it. And the infographic and the topic is how to pick your first programming language based on the life you want.
Okay.
And so it's
tied it to something psychological.
I would actually enjoy this.
You will. Application, and it's got, you know, for web development, and it, you know, it's got the whole Ruby, MATLAB, Python, Java, JavaScript, C++, C++, PHP, the whole, and then each one of them for web development, game development, mobile app, data analysis, etc., what their pay is, geography for where you want to live, which ones are most used in different parts of the country and in different states, popularity. And popularity over the last 5 years, is it becoming more used or is it becoming less used?
So I'm going to dispute the geography.
Okay, this is killer content of the week.
Because developers...
It's really good.
I don't know. I got something for killer content. We'll vote. The geography thing, because developers can live anywhere. I mean, most companies today that are hiring software devs don't care where they live.
But this is just maybe
at least the ones I run into.
I think it would depend on the language. And I think languages.
Well, that's okay. Fair enough.
And a company culture too.
Yeah, cubicle farms for certain language. That's true. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I would think that maybe
you're right. You're absolutely right. I was
anyway, geography wise, California blows away everybody else.
Well, of course.
So,
yeah.
So that's not
everybody goes to Silicon Valley.
Yep. And so and then they have the popularity, and then he has this conclusion. This was just really interesting.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And now Larry Kim writes up. There's a narrative in Medium that. Yeah, it's a Medium, and then there's the Udacity infographic. But I just loved it. I'm actually looking through it and looking at the different. I just found it fascinating.
Interesting.
It's a genius content idea because he's taking something we wouldn't be interested in and doing something funny with it or unique.
He's good at it. He was on episode 33. If you haven't listened to Grow the Dream Show episode 33 with Larry Kim,
he was excellent. Yeah. He really was.
And he didn't create the infographic you're talking
about. No, Udacity did.
But he turned it into content that you would digest.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
And did he link to his product somewhere in this Medium post?
Yeah, he's probably linking to his Twitter. I mean, obviously, sure. Medium and Twitter, but
there's links all through it.
Yeah, what's he up to on Twitter, I wonder? you know, his Twitter following is
Hey, we got to talk about last week. One of the numbers I talked about in this post, I talked about the click-through rate, like a 16%, and I believe I maybe used the word click-through rate. I dug into the numbers more, and Facebook was counting a like as a click-through. They were counting a click on the picture as a click-through.
Well, keep in mind that their interface doesn't say click-through. It calls it
click rate.
Link click. So when you see clicks in the Facebook ad interface, that is counting everything you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually say click-throughs.
Yeah. Well, and the default, it says performance and then something else. The default does not show your actual
clicks, right.
So it's the most misleading.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Your thing is doing amazing. Look at the click-through rate. That's
right.
A bunch of BS.
If you used a photo and someone clicks to expand, you know how you click to expand and you see the bigger photo?
That's a click too.
That's a click. If they clicked on your profile, that's a click. If they pick, so YouTube
it's
or Facebook,
so irritating.
Facebook is annoying with that, but there is a place where you can look
find the number,
for link clicks, and that's
I found the number.
Yeah.
And that post that I was all excited about last week.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, that we did the point of this was get social proof so that when you promote that post to your actual audience in the actual demographic that you really really care about, it'll perform well because it's already got that social proof. So that aspect of it worked. But all those click-throughs that I say I was getting, turned out that only, I think, two people actually clicked through to an actual external link.
Oh, no.
Of
I'm
all
sorry.
Those
yeah.
people that saw it. So that's bad.
But those clicks are valuable in the sense that Facebook counts them as engagement.
Right. So actually, it was successful based on what you were actually looking to get out of it for
right, for social proof.
But
right.
if
yeah,
you
but
were trying
proof.
To get people to your website...
Right.
Then it probably
right,
was.
But that wasn't the goal of that one,
right.
really.
It, which is similar
correct.
To the video thing. Like a few episodes back, I was talking about this video that we ran where we got, you know, 26,000 organic views
yeah.
for $50
yeah.
on Facebook. And someone pointed out, 26,000 organic reach on Facebook. And somebody pointed out in the comments, well, that wasn't actual views. And I know. I only got like 3,000 views, which... And those were not even good views, but this was a branding play.
Yeah.
So for my purposes, I just wanted to get the brand in front of those people, and that was the point. So
yeah.
if I were trying to generate response, that would have been worthless.
Yeah.
Right? It's similarly to what you're talking about. But see, we've got to be thinking this way on Facebook right now. We've got to do stuff that generates all of that kind of engagement so that Facebook will show people our stuff.
Yeah, the quality score.
Okay,
when we are trying to generate
I have a
response.
Question on the last 15 minutes.
Okay.
The benefit of doing slideshow engagement over Facebook engagement.
Slideshare,
sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Slideshare is going to happen... everywhere other than Facebook. I don't even think you can embed SlideShare stuff in Facebook.
Yeah, right. So that's why they promote it on Twitter.
It's just a different type of content. So if you're thinking about blogs, Medium, YouTube, SlideShare is in that list somewhere, like a distribution mechanism.
It's a distribution
mechanism. But is there a purpose to using it over Facebook? If you have a limited amount of time and budget, is there a purpose in choosing the SlideShare over the Facebook?
No.
Wait, what?
I maybe for lead gen.
It just depends completely on your product.
It really does. If you're really a SlideShare to me would be something you do after you're already being successful with other channels.
Okay,
like Facebook, and like if you build a good Twitter following,
mm-hmm.
then SlideShare makes sense for because like Josh said earlier, you can embed the slides in your tweets.
Well, I mean the example I used from this guy. He wasn't saying that he had a following and that's what he did.
Right.
He was saying he promoted it.
Yeah, he paid Twitter to show his SlideShare content.
Right.
So it'd be like building an infographic that nobody knows about, right? You got to get your infographic out there to people, so you still have to use other... So the same thing with SlideShare.
Sure, but so he spent an awful lot of time creating this.
Yes.
And so I was just wondering, so the value of spending all that much time creating it in SlideShare is that it can be used everywhere really except Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know that it does well on Facebook, but yes, yeah, you can use it in a lot of different places. And because think about like YouTube, it's actually possible, but it's not easy to you don't do well embedding links in your YouTube videos, right?
Right.
I mean, you can because there's an overlay and
right. Nobody likes it.
Exactly. But with SlideShare, people are already tapping on your slides.
Right.
Right. So if you put a link in there, it's kind of, you know what I mean?
It's already interactive.
So you can drive traffic from SlideShare to other places much more easily than you can with content like YouTube.
So then once you've created and spent real time creating good SlideShare content and all, what would be the easiest way to take that and use it on Facebook also?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Because, I mean, I'm thinking in a way, look, you don't want to
embed
have to
embed it in a blog post.
Recreate the wheel again or something. Yeah, okay, yeah, so put it in a blog post.
Embed the slide in a blog post.
And then do that
or,
on Facebook.
Or maybe like try Notes and put a link to your slides in your notes.
I wonder if you can embed it in Notes.
You can do links in Notes. I don't think you can embed SlideShare in Notes, but we could try it. I haven't tried it. I haven't tried Notes recently, so I know when we talk about it, making a
clarification on the strategy of the one over the other.
Yeah. It's an interesting form of content. It's a different way to, okay, so speaking of content, my nomination for Killer Content of the Week is shared jointly between Nike and the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Research Foundation.
Oh, nice. I think I saw this on Pinterest.
I said it wrong. Sorry. Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research is the actual name. And so this is my nomination for Killer Content of the Week. Someone shows up at Michael J. Fox's house or office or wherever it is. I'm not sure where they filmed it. But they used a smartphone, and they filmed Michael J. Fox putting on the Nike Air Mags that are self-lacing.
Which, watching that video, I feel like self-lacing is overstating it a little bit.
Yeah.
They're more like self-tightening.
Yeah.
They didn't go through and lace them up lace by lace. That's already there. You slip your foot in,
but that's
kind of push a button and it goes whoop.
That's kind of true of the ones in the movie though too.
Yeah, okay.
In the movie they were already laced. They just
but self tightening doesn't sound cool. Self lacing sounds cool.
It's more accurate.
Yeah, I saw footage.
Marketers stretch the truth all the time, and you know
this is the copy desk editor right here.
Yes.
So
I have such conflict within my soul.
You are always going to have this problem on this show. I'm going to tell you that.
Okay, but
in life in general.
So back to the Air Max. All right, so here's the deal. You can only buy them in an auction. So you can't buy the Air Max yet. They're coming in spring 2016. You can only buy them in an auction, and they're going to go for some absurdly high price because it's an auction.
Yeah.
And limited quantities and all that sort of stuff.
And they're going to give it.
The proceeds go to Parkinson's research.
Sure, genius.
Sure. Hey, so why not?
Even Nike is employing a pre-launch strategy.
Yeah, and they're doing well. They tweeted about it. It said if you can imagine, their tweet said, if you can imagine the future, you can create it. And it had a picture of the Air Max.
Okay, but now we're talking Nike.
Okay, but hold on.
Pretty huge to start
13,000 retweets, 12,000 favorites as of the time that we're recording here. Michael J. Fox Foundation posted just a photo on Twitter of Michael J. Fox trying them on, and it says, this is real. This is today, coming spring 2016. And that got 18,600 retweets. So on top of more than Nike, I should add, because they actually had Michael J. Fox in the shot trying them on. So I think that went from fiction to reality real fast,
right?
So between the two, I mean, what does that add up to? 13,500 on Nike and an 18,500 on...
But if you can...
32,000 retweets, is that right?
Genius.
Nike, though, has 5.53 million followers on Twitter. So most stuff they put out is probably going to get some decent traction.
Okay.
I don't think we need to measure it. I mean, the fact that we know about it,
it's got killer content.
That's the point. It meets the killer content. We can't excuse them from. Well, they always get that.
Well, it's hard for me to measure. I mean, so
which I'm sure they don't always get that much.
And right. I might ought to mention that it's an animated GIF that shows the laces tightening.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So
I'm looking through their feed, and they don't always get that much. Maybe 15.
That was my next thing to do. Right. Yeah.
Right.
So that's
higher than their normal engagement by a fair bit. By multiples.
They did a great job with this, and of course Michael J. Fox showed up on Jimmy Kimmel with the shoes, and he demonstrated them. They actually don't lace very quickly. You know, they take or tighten.
Yeah, that was my attempt earlier. Was
it take a little while? But I saw footage this week of the of the actual shot when they filmed it for the movie in Back to the Future 2 when he puts them on and they go, you know, they had like 10 guys on the floor with wires and all this stuff, you know, pulling them, which they had to get rid of for the final, you know, in post.
That's hilarious.
They had to get rid of the guys. So this is cool. I mean, people have been looking forward to this since 1989.
I'm just curious some people. How heavy these shoes are.
Yeah. Because
they have the motor in it, a battery.
It's got to have some kind of, yeah. I'm just disappointed that I don't have my hoverboard yet.
But that's what everybody wanted. That's all I ever remember from that. And was that and the DeLorean.
So
a big failed brand.
This is my, they're coming back.
Was a big failed brand.
DeLorean is coming back.
What?
Somebody bought the name.
There's like a big twinkle in your eyes.
This is so cool, man. It's a stainless steel car with the gold wings and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, somebody
Which
bought.
Which flopped on the market, but.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Okay, all right then.
So what? Tesla. Look, we're in the era where like electric cars and self-driving cars are a reality now. So I think I think DeLorean's chance has come.
Yeah. The Tesla autopilot feature.
Have you seen like footage of people doing it?
I did see somebody. Yeah. And he used the turn. He just turned the turn signal like you would normally turn it. And then the car switched lanes on the highway for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I saw another guy who I think may have needed new underwear when the car changed lanes on the highway because he wasn't prepared for it. He was like, oh my God, it's changing lanes.
I've watched video of Google's self-driving cars, and that's actually pretty interesting.
It is.
Whole schmeal there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're driving the whole way.
Tesla's going to win the self-driving car.
They beat them to market.
Right now,
yeah, totally. So
Google's tinkering. Tesla's serious.
Google's will be a lot cheaper.
One more Google thing. This is my other.
They're doing it to deliver stuff. I don't think they're going to be a serious car manufacturer.
They're doing it to push the market
for consumers.
No, right? They want to be the delivery of information to the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure they'll team up.
They want
with
you to be using Google devices and search.
Right.
And,
they want in everything.
Yeah. When you're in your cell.
You just said that their cars are going to be cheaper.
Google will be cheaper than Tesla's. Whoever they team up with, whoever they partner with, it'll be a cheaper vehicle.
Yeah, except that Tesla is doing a lower cost vehicle. They announced a couple of weeks ago. They're trying to do an entry into the market.
I just don't see Tesla trying to compete.
They announced
on money.
That a while ago.
Okay, well, so here's one other killer content of the week nomination. On Back to the Future Day, I was using Google Play Music. Have you guys ever tried it?
Google Play, yeah.
It's like Spotify, you know, one of those. I've never used Spotify.
I use Spotify all the time.
So I got a free trial a long time ago to the YouTube, you know, music key service, like I told you. So I have Google Play. I've had it for a while, and I've been tinkering with it. So on Wednesday, I guess it was, right, Back to the Future Day, I loaded up Google Play Music, and it says, hey, it's Wednesday. It's a great time for, and then it does all the suggestion stuff that it does, you know, like today's biggest hits or focusing, you know, no lyrics. They have all these different suggestions. And one of the items was hoverboarding.
Oh, sure.
And so when you clicked it, you got three choices to start up. One of them was The Future, October 21st, 2015. One of them was Marty's 80s mixtape, which had like Lionel Richie and all kinds of other, you know, like 80s music. And one was called Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, 1955. And so you could choose from the three time periods of the Back to the Future. But I thought it was good.
Yeah.
So I picked the mixtape, and I was pretty thrilled with it until, I don't know, maybe an hour or so later, I got Rickrolled.
Rickrolled.
So the killer content in this is what?
Well, They put together the whole hoverboarding recommendation on
Back to the Future Day. They jumped on the whole
brilliant.
Back to the Future
I thought
bandwagon
it was really,
that
no, I thought it was
half
great.
Of the marketing world was riding.
Until they Rickrolled me.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, this is a new term. Rickrolled?
You don't know what Rickrolled is?
I learned so many new things on air.
Never going to give you up, Rick Astley? We're doing it to our audience right now.
Oh.
They played the song while I was listening to and of course it's actually appropriate for the time period because it was Marty's 80s mixtape, but still.
Are you really going to play this thing?
No.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm not going to do that to our audience.
Yeah. So, this has been exciting. Talked about SlideShare.
So because we had several nominations.
We need to vote.
We got to choose.
I think the last one is I think we should toss it
out. Okay, so Google Play is out. Yours was the...
How to pick a programming language based on the life you want.
Okay, that was good. And yours was, Josh...
I don't think I had one.
No, he didn't have one.
You didn't have one.
We just had yours and mine.
So is it the Nike... Well, okay, so you vote. You're the listener, you vote. Hey, speaking of voting.
Are you talking to me?
No.
Listener?
Talking to the listeners. You, the listener.
You were pointing at Josh.
Oh, I was going to pick between the two of you.
Yeah, I think you should.
I declare a winner. I'm going to go with Rods.
Woohoo! Okay, all right.
I mean, I think the Back to the Future one is cool and all. I think the
Nike
one is really creative.
It's really
creative. And even psychology of saying, based off of the life you want to live or however it uses,
exactly right.
Makes
life
you think,
you
oh, like I can get what I want in life if I click this link.
It's really good.
How many retweets did it get, though?
That is just,
I want to know.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. 32,000
on Medium.
For the Air Max.
But that's where Nike's 5.5 million does matter. And they got Michael J. Fox.
I think what you're describing is more scrappy and more useful to our audience. That's why I'm going with it.
Yeah.
All right. Most of our audience is not going to be able to create shoes next.
Yeah, and hire Michael J. Fox.
You know,
so
go Cubs.
Thank you for all the votes this week, because we did get votes on our webcast. The overwhelming response—it was a landslide—was that our audience would like
Webmaster Tools.
Yes. Well, we got one actual vote for the subject. I didn't ask in the poll which subject. I just said yes or no on webcasts with us, and it was overwhelming that people wanted webcasts. So
it's because they want to see your made for radio face.
No. These are not about faces. This is, we're going to be sharing our screens, and we're going to show you how to do stuff.
Well, you can't look at a screen and not share your face before you show the screen.
I don't show my face when I do webcasts.
He's shown his face. That's ridiculous.
Why would we do that? We want people to continue to watch.
People always want to see what you look like.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well,
let's be real here.
So we want to hear from you. If you have a suggestion for next week's killer content of the week, which,
yeah, let us know.
The acronym is KCOW. So
Killer
KCOW. Killer content of the week. Yeah. Killer
content of the week. Hey, and I know what we're going to talk about next week. Is that okay?
Oh, wow. Really? Well, we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah.
We know what you want to talk about.
But,
okay,
but
what
this
is it you want to talk about next week?
So I see the headline for this week's episode talking about slideshare marketing.
Sure.
Which I think is a very interesting topic to talk about.
Yep.
I want to learn more. We talked about it in this episode. So next week, Pinterest.
Oh, yeah. I like Pinterest.
I'm actually trying. So the same thing. I was trying to syndicate this post, syndicated to SlideShare, failed. Going to try that one again with links that actually work. Because you can't put links in the description for SlideShare.
No.
Even full URLs are non-clickable.
Right.
Ah! So anyway.
They want you to buy ads.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. But I'll just put them in the slide.
They're better in the content anyway.
Which is interesting that you can't do it for the first two slides. You have to wait till the third slide.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but so, for the same reason. Like, they don't want you to promote just slide one with links in it, right?
True.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Pinterest marketing coming up. Not Pinterest paid pins, but actual, like, organic. Like, how do you use Pinterest?
Do you have any Pinterest followers yet?
No.
So this will be fun.
Excellent test.
Okay. So if you want to sound off on this week's show, then we invite you to tweet us at GTD Show.
Mm-hmm.
You can also visit today's episode on the web at growthedream.com/shows/038. You can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Muccio, M-U-C-C-I-O.
Thank you.
How you spell Muccio. You can find Rod on Twitter at Rod_Thompson.
Thomson.
There's no P in Thompson and no P in underscore either, for that matter.
as long as you're careful.
You are weird.
Rod. welcome to our ool.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, so, and you can find me on Twitter at the David Johnson, because I'm the one you know.
Right.
And with that.
What's an ool?
Welcome to our ool. You've never seen the sign? Welcome to our ool. Notice there's no P in it. Please keep it that way.
Boom, boom.
Nope.
You use it near your pool.
It makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. See you next week.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.